pulling up roots. If you've never had this happen to you, it's quite an experience. The drive back home from the plant that night seemed to take hours instead of 30 minutes. My heart was pounding and my stomach felt like someone had just punched me in the solar plexus. I had just been laid off and I thought my job was totally secure. I knew I was one of the most competent men in my job, but so were 1,000 other men who were laid off that same day also. Then came months of searching for work, and when the shock was over, I settled to a serious search for work in the same city. Soon my determination turned to panic. Nothing was available. I began looking in other locations, and today I heard that I could have a job in a city 1,000 miles away. I should be happy, but now I must decide if I'm willing to pull up my roots and move my family. We had lived here 15 years. Excuse me. I think of our children and their friends, school and church. I think of all of the things that have gone on in the past, and the adjustments could be especially great for our teenagers. Now, that's a case that happened to a certain person. I don't know who he was, but it was an illustration of what happens to people, and that's the topic of our discussion this morning on pulling up roots. What do we do? And some of the factors that we need to consider is when we change. We do live in a mobile society, don't we? In fact, families in metropolitan areas today, they tell me, move on a period of every 5 years. Now, that's pretty good. In the Navigators, I think we beat that a little bit. We move 12 times in 12 years in our particular situation. A few children that grow up in the same city from kindergarten clear through high school. And because of this, the process of moving often causes the children to suffer quite a bit. Now, what factors should you consider in making a move or in changing jobs? What we'll try to do this morning is mention a few of the things and maybe some of the factors that go into it. And there are a lot of other things that could be covered. In fact, I've already been reminded of one this morning that wasn't on the outline. So you'll probably think of other things that as we go along. Maybe if you'd like to just raise your hand and bring us up to date on that, that'd be good too. Now, each one of these factors that we'll be talking about, we'll go into more in detail later as we go through the subject here. Now then, the first thing I think we need to consider is the family. I believe without question the family sustain the greatest impact in a move. They lose their friends and their teachers, their familiar surroundings, and their key extracurricular activities. They're involved in sports and so on. And it really has quite an impact on them. Adults, I think, a lot of times really underestimate the emotional trauma that kids go through in a move. They don't make the adjustment quite as easy as an older person. And the older the child gets, it seems like the more difficult the adjustment gets in making new surroundings and new friends and so on. Months pass a lot of times before they can integrate into new situations. It seems like kids have a hard time accepting one another a lot of times in school, the church activities, they feel strange, and so on. And so, obviously, the kids don't direct our lives, but they should deserve one of the most important considerations in talking about moving and changing locations. All right. Now, who really bears the physical part of a move? And some of the wives are already grinning because they know the answer to this. Well, obviously, it's the women. They have to do all the packing generally and the cleaning, get ready to make the move. They have to get the children out of school, de-enroll them, so to speak, and the packing and all the trauma of getting things ready. And then when they move to the new place, then they have the job of getting the thing cleaned up and getting settled, living out of suitcases and so on. And it's really a difficult situation for the wife. Now, my wife's just the opposite. She likes to move. I don't. She likes to fix up the house and so on. But there's a major factor to take in consideration in moving, and that's who bears the physical part of the move. The man comes in generally, and there's a new job or something. He takes off to the job, and then the woman has all the work of getting the place fixed up and making it livable again. So, in any decision that we make in pulling up roots, the family really deserves consideration in this. Then there's another point. That's the church and your spiritual involvement. As a Christian, we're different than the ordinary Joe in a secular job. You see, to the man that's a Christian, his life is a spiritual involvement. It's not just a job. Everyone receives and everyone gives. Now we have to ask ourselves this question. Now, why did God bring us here to this particular place at this particular time? Don't we? What did he have for us here? Why did God put me here? Is this mission accomplished when we're talking about a move? Has God done what he is intended to do through our life in the place that he's put us? Now, we need the church. And my wife and I have really found this to be true over the years, because from the time that we left our church in Oklahoma City back in 1962, literally, through Denver, Dallas, Jacksonville, North Carolina, Ogallala, Florida, Orlando, Florida, Atlanta, and back to here again, up until we came back here, we never found a church that measured up to the church that we had back in our hometown that we felt was a total integrated church until we came back here and found Temple. Now, some of you may not know what I'm talking about in this, but literally, now, we found some churches that had good points to them. And I'm not saying that there wasn't some good preaching and so on, but a church that met the total needs that we feel like that a church should have, we just didn't find it. And that's frustrating, very frustrating in a move, when you're looking for something that you had such a top church. And we had one back in Oklahoma City, and we feel like the Temple here offers the same type of teaching and training, Bible instruction for your children and for all different age groups. Now, I don't know whether many of you have experienced this or not. A lot of you probably in the military moving around have experienced that. But your church involvement has a great deal to do with your involvement in moving, whether you should move or whether you shouldn't. Besides taking in spiritual food, there's the output. God has something for you to offer to the people where you're going. Someone said that impression without expression leads to depression. In other words, I think Dr. Howie Hendricks put it like this. A lot of times people just come and they sit and they soak and they sour. You know, God has something for us to give out. And so he puts us in places uniquely where you can have a ministry to a certain type of people. And in that ministry, only you can minister to certain people because of your gifts and your personality and so on. So, then in considering a move or pulling up your roots and moving, have you fulfilled that commission that God has given you there? Then another thought too, have you trained someone to take your place if you leave? Or do you just pass on and move out? So these are considerations to take in the ministry that God has given you. And then there's another aspect, and that's your job. Are you realistic about the demands of your new job if that's what you're looking for? Isn't it true that the grass always looks a little greener on the other side? If I could just get somewhere else, everything would be all right. The job I'm in now is too demanding, and a lot of things here, and it always looks like that something else would be just a little bit better. Then in our walk with the Lord, and our calling, and our ministry, then we have to ask questions like this. Will this new job consume more of my time? Is it going to be so time-consuming that I don't even have time for the Lord? And a lot of times this happens, doesn't it? I know this is one of the major considerations that my wife and I had to consider back in the grocery business years ago. We had the opportunity, we had a supermarket, but we had an opportunity to go into one that was twice as large, that would probably make three times the money. But God had already indicated to us that he wanted us in more in Christian work than he did in the grocery business, more in the spiritual food than the physical. So whenever this opportunity came up, we didn't feel like it was quite time at that point to go into the ministry, so to speak. But we didn't also know whether we should go ahead and take the larger store. Well, the thing that we had to consider was that if you go into a new venture like that, it's like selling your soul to the company store because you have a new business. You have something that takes all of your time. And I knew that it would consume literally 24 hours a day. And one of our objectives for going out of the grocery business into something else was that it was too time-consuming, and we didn't have time to do the things that we felt that God wanted us to do, and that was to build into the lives of other people, spiritually. So, that's a real consideration. Your job. Also, you have to check your motives. There are good and bad motives for changing jobs, and we'll go into that a little bit later. Then another thing is God's will. Now then, in your handouts, you don't need to look at them now, but we detail that for you on a couple of pages of knowing God's will. We won't go into that on account of the time, but I'd like for you to really look that through, and there's some fantastic points there to help you determine what God wants for you. Now, ultimately, you have to determine God's will for your life, ultimately. It's all right to get counsel from other people. It's all right for this, that, and the other. But ultimately, you have to stand before the Lord and give an account of what the decisions that you make in your life. And you have to be careful that you don't let other people play the Holy Spirit for your life. Now, one reason why a lot of times we like for other people to tell us what to do. Can you imagine what that is? Anybody have any thoughts on it?
If it goes wrong, you can blame.
Right. Exactly. You see, we kind of like to do that, don't we? We want someone to say, well, this is the way you go. Step 1, 2, and 3. But you see, the Lord will give us counselors to help us. But ultimately, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We have the leading of God. We have His promises. Therefore, He expects us to come to that conclusion. Is it God's will for my life at this particular point? So we have to really watch that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Who knows that verse? Anybody? Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge
Him. Okay, it says don't lean to your own understanding. It doesn't say anything about you're not supposed to use it. God gave us a brain, didn't He? He said, but you don't lean on that understanding. You don't lean on the intellect. You use it, but you look to the Lord, and He promises what? That He will direct your path. Do you believe that? Really? Sometimes it's hard to live up to it, though, isn't it? Because we get a little shaky. Well, He might miss this time, you know. Maybe He just doesn't hear me this time. And this is a major move. So, determining God's will. Now there's some valid reasons for change, and that's what we want to go into. God directed Moses out of the desert, to return to Egypt, and then finally, he led the nation of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. God led David through adversity in the lives of many places, to live in many places, I mean from caves to different places. God led Paul on missionary journeys very definitely. He closed doors one place, He opened them in others. Move and change are not sin. Many times God directs us to various places of ministry and work so that we can be in the place where He can use us in the best possible means. But when there is a choice, we have to consider our real motives for that change, don't we? What's really behind it? And there are some good ones, and there are some things that we can choose, but there's some things also that God forces on us. All right, again, let's go down to this. Some valid reasons for change. Can you see this up here, Ryan? All right, back again to family needs. There are a lot of reasons why we need to consider our family. We've already mentioned this once, but we'll detail a little bit more. There are times when your children, especially if they're teenagers, have quite a bearing on the influence of a move. For instance, I know a doctor back in Oklahoma City that in the certain school section where they were, the teen drug problem and all of the activities that were very detrimental to Christians were really having an effect on his kids' lives. And even though they were Christians, because of the influence of the crowd, because of the pressure of their peer groups, they were beginning to sway a little bit, and he could see this. The family could. And there began to be some problems that would start to rise up. And because of this, they moved to a farm where they had some cattle and so on. They were fortunate enough to be able to do that. And then to a rural school that was very good as far as kids were concerned, spiritually and all of that. But they got out of that situation. And there may be times when people have to do that, just on account of the influence, the drug unrest and the student unrest and so on. And even though this person's job was very rewarding and very uplifting to him and a lot of promised advancement, he decided to move to another city rather than, and also to change his children's environment rather than stay and face that situation with the possibility of ruin for his family. Now, that's very valid. And I know time after time of people that have been involved in that type of situation. And if you've never faced it, it's quite a traumatic experience. You need to pay careful attention to your family's needs. You can't rebuild the things that are torn down in their lives many times. Now, here's a number of reasons that could be a part of a decision to move. All right? health problems of one of the family members. And I can identify with this because my wife has had a health problem. Also, schooling for the children. Maybe your children need a certain type of school. And we've also faced that. We moved to Ogallala, Florida, basically for one reason. And that's to find a school situation that would help one of our sons in his schooling, because he had a very difficult time in school. And this particular section of the country, they had developed a certain type of schooling. It was called an ungraded system, where you weren't graded according to everyone in your class, but you were graded according to your own abilities. And this can have a real influence on your life as far as your children having special needs or special type of schooling. That would be a very legitimate one. Or here's another one. Frantic family activity cycles that cannot easily be changed in your current location. Have you ever thought about that? You've got involved in so many things that you're trapped in it. And I think I mentioned this once before, but you feel like you're on a merry-go-round, you can't find your horse. And you're trapped into situations that you just can't get out of. Have any of you ever been in situations like that? Maybe not to the extent where you felt like that you really needed to make a change. But you were so trapped in activities, so committed, that a change could even be necessary there. All right, then there's another thing. Company pressures and demands that are so hurtful to your families. The company demands so much that a change is needed because it's detrimental. You have no time with your family, and the pressures that they're exerting on you is tearing your life apart and your families. And you just decide that it's not worth it, that your family and your life is far more important than that. All right, any questions up to this point? We have to move pretty fast here on account of so much to cover. All right, now then there's another situation. Your company moves you. Now, you have very little control over that. If you work in a large company which has several locations, the possibility of a move always exists. In fact, I've talked to people in real large companies that they move around about as much as the military and the navigators. It seems like every couple of years they move them. The company might ask you to move, or the economic conditions may reduce the workload at one plant to where they either have to let you off or ask you to move where it's more fruitful. And I'm sure that some of you here have been involved in that. Now then, you're faced with a choice of two decisions. You can do one of two things. You can quit, or you can move. That's when the company forces this on you. Now, if you choose to stay, no, if you don't have to move, let me catch you up here just a minute. Yeah, if you decide to stay, and you decide to quit your job because of economic values and so on, then it may be a big step of faith, because you have to trust God then for another job, another situation. So you have to be very certain that it's God's will when you stay there rather than moving to the other situation there for the new job. When you have a choice, then you need to seek God's will with your family if you're staying in the current situations. All right, then, another reason. Is personal satisfaction on a new job. In other words, just the challenge and excitement of going to a new job motivates a lot of people to move. A new job can offer the way out of difficult working situations or an unstable financial situation. And many of you maybe have faced this. Maybe things are just so tough where you are that you want to move. And I think a lot of times we have to be careful whenever we decide that we want to move to something else. Because here's another opportunity to find out that the grass is not always greener on the other side. That the job may not be quite what we're looking for. In other words, running away from a job. Running away from a situation. And you generally find that when you do that, it goes right along with you. You just pack it up and you just change your geographical location. As Christians, we don't operate on the myth that what is hard or what's good, or the opposite of what I want is what God wants. God wants to give us the desires of our heart. He wants us to enjoy life. John 10:10. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He wants that for us. He wants us to have the best. A lot of times, dissatisfaction in a job provides a clue that a change could be needed, provided that our relationship with God is secure and we're not trying to escape from a problem. God could be leading to something different. He may be trying to get you in another situation. A new job in a new location can really stimulate ministry opportunities. New ministry opportunities. New contacts for witnessing. New growth by stepping out on faith and so on. And God provides open doors as well as closed doors when we're doing this. An open door may be an indication that God has a new job opportunity for you or a move. Another something that's good here is changing jobs without changing locations can be very beneficial, might be very helpful. It could be very satisfying, and it doesn't disrupt your family so much. Make that a possibility first whenever you're considering a job change. Then there's another one. That's health. We've talked about that a little bit. When one family, a member of the family, has a significant health problem, or you have a clear responsibility to help that person in that situation, do whatever is necessary to get that person the help they need. For instance, asthma. I know a person that has asthma very bad, and they've had to move to different parts of the country so that this is not a problem for that person, to help them develop and not be completely wiped out totally by asthma continually. A lot of times that health problems has an emotional base. Now, such difficulties are every bit as real even as something like a broken leg or a case of flu. Although recommending a job change for location only because of emotional health would be very difficult, it has to be taken into consideration. There's a lot of things that go into consideration here. That's the financial circumstances, the type of job, the church relationship. All of these things do have a profound effect on emotional health of people, certain people especially. A lot of times a change of job can be very, can help restore health, mental health, if the root of the problem is also been treated in that situation. Now, as a person matures in his Christian life, he begins to develop a new view of his spiritual needs and his gifts and his contributions. Economic achievements and worldly glitter seem to kind of take a back seat. In other words, those are not all the important things. A person begins to realize that life is not sometimes quite that little balloon or the bubble that he thought it was. It bursts. And it's a lot of times reality shatters unfulfilled dreams. Isn't that right? Everything's not cracked up just what it's supposed to be, like we think. A person a lot of times begins to realize that there's more to life than just financial stability. That his spiritual development is far more important. And I've seen young couples over the country that have decided that they needed spiritual help and that they weren't getting it where they were. And there didn't seem to be any opportunity of getting it. And yet they knew of places in the country, over the country, where there was spiritual help being given in the context of a place where they could get a job and they could work, and yet they could develop spiritually, develop their intake, so that they in turn would be better prepared to minister spiritually later on. to other people, being involved in the Great Commission. I know a place in Oklahoma City where there's a fellow that's very, he's very good at training people and helping young couples get started in ministry, and especially in their own spiritual walk, development as a husband and wife. And there have been many couples moved from all over the country into this particular area so they could get the training and the help that they needed in order to be able to invest a few years now to be willing to make a contribution to the body of Christ later. Now then, now I'm not talking about a full-time Christian vocational type job. I'm talking about getting prepared spiritually where you can minister in the context of a secular job through your neighborhood and your church and your business. Now then, would you be willing to move if God laid this on your heart to get that type of help if you're not getting it? Is there someone around that's giving you that type of help? Are you getting it? This is very important and a very legitimate reason for a move. Then there's another, a new start. A new start. We frequently read of people that have made drastic changes in their jobs, their careers. There's the engineer that become a farmer. There's the carpenter who goes to college and becomes a doctor. The independent businessman who just gets fed up with the pressures and switches to an hourly job. If any of you have read The Greening of America, you see quite a bit of this in The New Greening of America, as this fella talks about people getting fed up with the system, fed up with all of the pressures that they have to have, and they're willing to sacrifice a little bit of financial stability in order to have enjoyment in life, doing something that they enjoy doing. And this happens. Many people don't make the right choice in the beginning. They just make the wrong decision. They get in the wrong vocation. And they begin to realize that this is a wrong place for them to be. Now you could just take that as fate and just go ahead and stick it out for the rest of your life. But not necessarily. If a person's made a bad decision in his vocation, Romans 8:28 still works. Who can quote that? We talk about it a lot. What is it? Okay, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Now, we say a lot of times, well, how could that work together for good? Well, God takes everything that we do, if we're walking with Him, and He blends that together for our good some way. Now, we may not be able to see it at the time. For instance, if my wife bakes a cake, and I walk in there, and I take a handful of flour and put it in my mouth and try to eat it, it doesn't taste very good, does it? Or salt, you know, a big mouthful of salt. And that doesn't taste too good, does it? But the amazing thing happens when she takes a lot of ingredients and she blends those together, and then she puts it in an oven, and then she puts it out on the counter, then I lose the victory in my diet. But something wonderful happens, and out of that, she's put things together for good. And then you have something to work. And this is the way that God works in our life, isn't it? He takes the circumstances, although at the time, individually, they may not seem good. But if we're walking according to His purpose, He blends those things together for good, and then He can use that for His purpose, ultimate purpose for us, in Romans 8:29, where it says He conforms us to the image of Christ. So He takes this background and He uses that. God can lead you to a new life and a new career. A lot of times this happens, especially when a person becomes a Christian later in life. He's in a vocation where the vocation is not necessarily conducive to Christian living. For instance, if he was working in a bar, obviously, that does not contribute to Christian living to the extent, does it? There may be a need for a change there. So this, a lot of times, people has to allow God to change that person in a situation in order to bring that person out where he can mature in Christ. All right, then here's another one. Laid off. And boy, we've seen a lot of that, haven't we, here lately. especially in the economy. And apparently, you know, there's still a lot of that coming. We're not out of the woods yet. Although it looks better, there's still a lot of companies that are having problems economically. And as the economic circumstances in our country change and possibly deteriorate even, increasing numbers of people may be out of work. And I was just listening over here, a lot of times, especially if you're dealing with the government, if they don't get a certain contract, then the workforce they have has to be diminished considerably. We were in a meeting with some fellows the other day that work at Systems Incorporated, I think it is, Data System Incorporated, something like that. But their workforce, their workforce can go from several hundred down to just a few people as a result of a government contract. And so there, a lot of times you have no control over this if the contracts don't come in, especially with the big companies. When we were over in Ogalle, Florida, that's right outside of Cape Kennedy, and the space program dropped drastically. There were several thousand engineers out of jobs. And boy, this was quite a shock to a lot of them because the space program was so secure for a while. And a lot of them had bought homes around this area, nice homes, expensive homes. They were making good money and everything was going well. Then all of a sudden, boom, they just dropped them. And so a lot of them decided they were going to have to stay, they wanted to stay around because they kept hoping it'd get better. But as the money began to run out, there were engineers running gas pumps and so on, just trying to make ends meet, trying to find work, but there wasn't any work. You can only handle so many. A lot of them had to move, so they had some drastic things that came up as a result of being laid off. And as that happens, you have to really determine, what are you going to do when you get laid off? All right, now there are several reasons here why people get laid off, other than the fact that it's an economic situation. You have no control over that. I think we need to consider these. Poor work performance is one of them. And also, a person is unqualified for the job that he's in. He just doesn't have what it takes there in that particular job. He can't do the job that he's supposed to do. Bad relationships with the people you're working with. Somebody said in one of the management courses that I was in not too long ago that if you're not making it with your boss, you're not making it. My boss is sitting right over here, so I have to be careful what I'm saying, see? But if you're not making it with the people you're working with, then this could be a real major factor in whether you stay in that job or not, because you're dependent on people around you, your peer group, those above you, those that are working below you, whatever. But you need to get along with the people. And this could be a real reason why a person could be laid off, is because he just can't get along with people. And as Christians, of course, we have more of a responsibility in this area than even the non-Christian, don't we? To relate to people as a testimony, even. Getting along with people. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Somebody said, I love the world, it's just people I can't stand. Do you ever feel like that? Well, sometimes, you know, it's like that. And, you know, it's too bad a lot of times, but as Christians, it's difficult to get along. But this could be a major factor even in a job relationship, though. Serious errors on jobs. In other words, just not being competent in that work. And here's one: laziness or intentional slow work causes people to get laid off. Just intentionally not doing your work right. Just goofing off. All right? Then undependability. In the Christian life, you know, we've talked about this. One of the things that God expects of us is to be dependable. The thing that He expects of a steward is to be faithful. And not just in money matters, but also in the idea of his work relationship. Whatever God has called us to do, do it with all of our heart. All right. Now then, if a person gets fired, what should we do? Or if a person is out of work, what can he do? Well, as hard as it is, probably one of the first things we need to do is just to thank God for our circumstances. That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. You mean when I'm fired? When I lose a job? Financial disaster, it seems to be imminent. To thank God for that, can you do that? That's kind of hard, isn't it? That's putting our faith down where it really counts. Can we do that? And another thing you need to do, if this happens, would be to sit down with the family and list some things that God may want us to learn out of that circumstance. And another thing that's very important is to take a financial inventory. Where do we stand right now? How long can we last if nothing else comes in? Now, from this financial inventory, determine how long you can work, or how long you can go without work and still live, get by. One of the most important things that you can do is work out a severely reduced budget. Just quit spending for anything except what you just have to. And you know, if we did this, we could probably live to one half or at least two-thirds of our previous income. Don't use your credit cards. Evaluate what's really necessary. You know, if you have any heavy debts with high time payments and so on, you can write the creditor and gently get some help on this if you're honest with them. One of the most important things is explain the situation to your family honestly. You know, don't try to kid each other. Did any of you see the book, I think, what's it called? Read the book called The American Tragedy or something like that? Great American Tragedy, where the fellow lost his job. He was an engineer or something like that. He had a very high-paying job, and they had a high standard of living, and they kept on living in that standard rather than dropping it. And it was total disaster. The fellow was middle-aged where he couldn't hardly get a job, and all the people that would supposedly would really help him get a job would pat him on the back, but really kind of turn their heads, their backs, when it came down to really helping him get the job. So we need to be honest about this thing. Face it squarely. Let your pastor know your circumstances and ask the church to pray. Tell your friends about it. Maybe they can give you leads. They may know of some employment. And I know people have come around different times and mentioned they needed a job. In fact, I can think of just a young man the other day that was out of work, and we happened to hear of some work that was available, and he has a job. Just because some friends happen to care. And so don't be afraid to do that. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be too proud to accept gifts from friends, food and so on. Boy, this is hard, you know, a lot of times for people. Now, I'm saying this to you. You probably don't have this problem. Maybe you have your job and so on, but it could happen. Or it may happen to a friend of yours. And I read an article not too long ago, I think it was in Eternity Magazine, but it talked about the church. How the couple lost their job, and it seemed like the church just kind of turned their back on them, like they had the plague or something, you know, because they were out of work. And we don't want to be guilty of doing something like this. When someone in our midst has a problem, we can help them. Don't be too proud. Allow others to have the joy of sharing in that. And maybe we're the ones that will be the ones that are doing the sharing with that person, but not to make them feel badly about it, but help them. Let your out-of-town friends and relatives know that you're seeking a job. A lot of times they can be of real help in this. Apply for unemployment benefits. Now, a lot of times Christians maybe have a negative against this, but you and your company have paid for those benefits, and it's not a handout. It's something you're entitled to. It's unemployment insurance. An insurance against the time that something like this might happen. My son came out of the Army, and he was in a ministry in North Carolina. He came to Colorado Springs here. And he came just at the time the big crunch hit. And he just could not get a job. He would apply for a job and there'd be 50 and 60 people for the same job. And it took quite a while for him to get a job. So don't be, and he had to apply for employment. And it was rightfully his. Another one here is plan to hunt for your job 8 hours a day. Make it a full-time job looking for that job. And we could go on and on and on. Employment services are all right also at times. Although, an employment service is very expensive. But it may be better than no job at all. It may come to that. All right. Questionable reasons for change. All right, now on your outline, you notice here that money would be a reason for change, but it seldom should be the reason for change. You know, if you're living at a level below subsistence where you can't make it, then money might be a valid reason for change. But if you change job just to get more money for material things, then it could really be questionable. Or career climbing. You have to be cautious about changing jobs or locations just to advance your career. This may be detrimental to your family's needs. So you need to consider all of these things. Other factors. Running from problems. We've talked about this. Generally, if you run from problems, the problems are of your own making. And when you pack up that U-Haul, you pack them right in there. And when you unload that U-Haul, there they are. In fact, they're usually the first thing that you unpack. I remember one time we had a missionary he was a Japanese American or Englishman. He was a missionary. And he was talking to a bunch of young people. And they asked him, they said, "Dr. Morton, what's your biggest problem on the mission field?" And so they expected him to say lack of money, lack of materials, lack of people, the devil fighting me and all of this, and some profound explanation. But he stood there for a minute in his oriental fashion. He bowed his head like this. Then he looked up and he said, "My biggest problem on the mission field is the man under my own hat." And this is generally true, isn't it? So the problem generally is of our own making, and running away doesn't solve them. All right? If the company says so, this by itself is a not sufficient enough reason to move. Ideally, we'd like to say never, but we could take a lesser job, lesser paying job, and stay in the community, couldn't we? So that could be a questionable reason for change. All right, then we go on to something else. Is it too late to change? Suppose you're in a situation and you feel like you really need to change. Is it too late? Well, there are several considerations that need to be taken taken into consideration here. Number one is the time and the age. If you're in the late 40s or older, most of you are not at that point yet, the age limit of the feasibility of a new job or career is a little doubtful. Many companies really hesitate to hire anybody at that age bracket unless they have unusual qualifications or experience. The ideal time for a career change is in the 30s. And the reason for that, of course, many of you know your own abilities and limitations, but you still have time to be productive in a new career. Some careers require many, many years of training before you get where you can make a contribution, while others take only months. So also you have to consider this. The greatest barrier to career change, of course, is what? Lack of finances. Now then, if the wife decides, along with the husband, that she wants the husband to go back to school and so on, and she's willing to maybe work during that period of time to help make that change, then that would be a possible consideration. One of the things that you really need to understand, though, is God's will clear and your desire is really great? If God okays that, then you can do it. But if you plan to do something like that, you better plan ahead quite a while, because you need to make savings count. You need to make financial preparation for it. And also, you need to have the family's consideration. All right, now then, finding God's will. Now, in your handout, we won't go through that particular part because our time's about up. But now then, suppose what we've done is we've decided that God wants us to change. Or, but because of circumstances, we're going to make a change. Now, how do we do it? How do we do it? All right? Let's go into the idea of how do we pull up the roots gently. Well, if you're digging up a live plant and you're going to replant that plant so that it lives, it's a delicate procedure, isn't it? Now, I remember a long time ago when my wife and I had one of our first homes, we found some shrubbery at a place that was very cheap. And the only catch was that you had to go dig it up. And it was a great big cedar about like this. And we didn't have any idea that you had to ball that root, so to speak, to make sure that it came out with all the dirt around it. Now, some of you have done that maybe. Well, I didn't know how to do it, and it was just my wife and I trying to do it. Well, you can imagine with a ball supposedly about that big what happened trying to do it. It just crumbled. And when it crumbled, we planted the thing, and sure enough, it died because we didn't uproot it gently. It was very cheap. The only catch was that you had to go dig it up. And it was a great big cedar about like this. And we didn't have any idea that you had to ball that root, so to speak, to make sure that it came out with all the dirt around it. Now, some of you have done that maybe. Well, I didn't know how to do it, and it was just my wife and I trying to do it. Well, you can imagine with a ball supposedly about that big what happened trying to do it. It just crumbled. And when it crumbled, we planted the thing, and sure enough, it died because we didn't uproot it gently. You know, I was just wanting to get the thing out and get it planted and get it over with. It looked nice, but you can't do that. And many of you that are gardeners and have the green thumb, you know how to do that. Well, you see, it's the same thing in moving a family, isn't it? We need to uproot that family gently. So the first thing is to prepare. The more you prepare for your move, the less turmoil you'll experience. Don't leave things until the last minute. One of the reasons is that it'll drain your whole family, physically and emotionally, if you do it. Leave it all right to the last minute, and then suddenly try to move. I remember one time moving one of our couples back in North Carolina. And my wife and I had moved so often that we knew how to do it fairly well. We knew how to plan ahead, which we did for weeks. But this couple, it was a brand new one for them, and it was probably our fault for not helping them know how to move. And they weren't moving too often, so we took a whole crew over to help them move. And while we were moving, they were taking stuff out of the drawers and packing it at the same time. Now, you talk about frustration and confusion. Now, I know it was frustrating to us just trying to move them. I don't know what happened when they got back where they moved to and tried to find the stuff, because everybody was grabbing stuff and so on. And it was really frustrating for that wife. I really felt sorry for her. You need to plan for a move. And it's interesting that you can do that. All right? You can plan what you're going to do and involve the whole family in that move. Get their opinion of how to move, what needs to be done, what needs to be left, what needs to go. Try to understand their feelings. Timing. Whenever you can, make it a convenient time for your children. And I think that the Air Force, if I'm not, Jerry, I believe this is true, don't they try to structure the moves where it fits in with the children's schooling and so on? Right. Generally, they do this. And most companies are pretty nice about this, trying to help you. But make it a convenient time, like during the summer and so on. Also, one of the things you need to do is go ahead to the location by yourself and try to line out things ahead of time so you don't get there. And then suddenly it's frustration. Have a place to live. It's best if you can move right into a new home, your new place of living, if you can. But if you can't, then you need to have a place where you can have an intermediate place with the least amount of moving as possible. Get settled quickly. And you need to take time off to do that. Trying to do it, working and doing it at nights and so on is very frustrating in making that move. Okay. Advance arrangements, taking time off, and getting settled quickly. All right? We're down to about 5 minutes, and I think we're going to make it. How to start a new job? Well, the first thing is just to concentrate on that job, because it's going to drain you. You need to give 110% of trying to learn what that's all about, what to do, to really give yourself to that until you get the hang of it. And secondly, know what's expected of you. Find out what your job consists of, a good job description. And be a learner. Very important. Be willing to learn from everybody that's been in that situation there. Find out what they did before. Coming in as a know-it-all is really a detriment to you. Develop relationships with people. Get to know the people that you're working with. Make that move and that transition easy by knowing the people, getting to know them, finding out what they're like, getting to appreciate them. Extra effort. Do whatever's necessary to get the job done, to show that you're really interested. And whatever the job that you have to do, be a finisher. Get it done. Unfinished work helps no one. You can't sell a half-made product, can you? So, with all of these things, you have four basic things that really need to be considered. Number one is your family. Then your church and your spiritual involvement. Don't overlook that. Because if you get in a place where you can't be fed spiritually unless you're mature enough to hack it by yourself, this could be a real deadly effect on you and your family and your spiritual walk. I've seen people go off to towns where there was no spiritual help, no spiritual family, and their Christian life is just going like this. And then when they realize this later on, then they begin to cry for help. Boy, somebody needs to help me. I've got to do something. Because that spiritual life has just deteriorated. And then your job, what's it going to be like? Is it really that important? Is it really going to pay off that much to make that move? And probably the most important of all, is it God's will? Do you know it is? Have you asked the Lord? Are you really looking to Him and taking some of these little helpful situations that we've talked about in the handout, knowing what God wants? Remember, He wants the best for you. He wants you to have the very best. He wants you to be in the best spot where He can use you to the fullest extent to help conform you to the image of Christ.